Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, January 13th, 2022. Are you sitting in a bathtub like Prince listening to this segment? Scrub yourself clean to the sounds of the Border Patrol and Matt Derrick talking Chiefs. Too bold. Matt Derrick, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, and I am trying to save all listeners the image of me in the bathtub like Prince, because I am not.
But you could be. Theater of the mind, buddy.
I might have a dream about that now.
You know.
Awkward silence all of a sudden.
Matt hung up.
Matt, you still there, buddy?
I'm hanging in here.
We apologize for those words.
Are you? Matt. Give us an update on the
what's going on over there?
Chiefs injury situation.
You know, for this time of year, the Chiefs seem in pretty good shape. I mean, there's some worries on the injury report, but the fact that everybody worked on Wednesday is a good sign. I mean, it is a light practice, so we'll see what happens. You know, today is a pretty critical one. I mean, this is the heaviest practice of the day, of the week. So, you know, what Clyde and what Daryl do on Thursday, I think, is pretty important. The fact that, hey, Kelsey and Hill were both full participants Wednesday, it's a pretty good sign. I mean, you can't really ask to be a much better position than the Chiefs are right now. I mean, they got a couple of guys to worry about, but other than that, I mean, it looks like they'll probably have everybody ready to go this week.
So, no worries about the tender heel of Tyreek Hill.
It certainly seems at this point that it's more of an aggravation than anything that he can, you know, affect further. And at least in the portion of practice that we got to see on Wednesday, I mean, certainly didn't look like he was favoring it or having any issues. I know this is a scary thing for Chiefs fans to hear when it comes to a heel, but it's really just a kind of a pain management issue at this point. If the Chiefs are able to manage that, I don't see why he wouldn't necessarily be full, you know, ready to go on Sunday.
So, Daryl Williams coming back from a toe issue. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire trying to make it back healthy. And then you've got Derek Gore. And Jerick McKinnon was very impressive against the Broncos. And so, how do you expect the touches to be split up amongst the running backs?
Yeah, it'll be a tough decision, especially if all those guys are ready to go, because Chiefs don't normally carry four active running backs. Plus, you know, they'll have Mike Burton, too, so that would be five with a fullback. So likelihood is that somebody will be down. I mean, and my guess is that it would probably be Derek Gore, just because it's the playoffs, and, hey, young guy there, least experience, you probably go with your veterans in that spot. But, you know, really, the Chiefs shouldn't be a running back by committee because they've got a first-round draft pick. But honestly, I mean, all three of those guys just have a different flavor, and there's different things that they can do. And you finally saw the Chiefs, you know, kind of figuring out how that they can get Jerick McKinnon involved. That was a guy that, I mean, last summer back in OTAs and training camp, it was just electric. You know, figuring out how to get him more involved, I think, would be great. But you got to figure it's going to be the Clyde and Daryl show for the most part. If things are all being things being equal, normally that's the case that Clyde gets the bulk of the work. But I think there's a spot for all of those guys if Chiefs can work them in.
Well, it is going to be interesting to see what Clyde brings to the table, isn't it? Like, since he's been out for a while now. I mean, I guess. How do we know what they should expect from him in terms of, okay, it's one thing to be fit enough to play, but it's another thing, like, if what you're saying is he's going to just go right back to being the number one option.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, on the bright side, it's not a leg issue of any sort that he's dealing with, or lower body, it's a shoulder injury. So, you know, hey, that shouldn't affect his movement. Now, what's going to happen the first time he gets hit? That's the question, because that's the kind of injury that can be a little bit jarring. Now, of course, maybe the Chiefs aren't going to put him out there if they think there's a chance that he can get hurt further. But if it's just a matter of, you know, trying to get through the pain and everything, that's a different issue. And, yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, that's a tough thing about a shoulder injury like that. is you can hit a guy in practice, but you're really not going to know what condition and shape he's in until the first time that he's at the bottom of a pile and has to come out of it and see how he is. And that'll be the real test for Clyde if he plays on Sunday.
Hey, I saw your tweet thanking Mike Tomlin and the Steelers PR department for making him available to the Kansas City media. Out of all the coaches that the Chiefs have gone up against, I mean, around how many have made themselves available to the Kansas City media the week of the game?
Not a lot. I mean, it used to be a requirement that every coach and a star player from the other team would make themselves available. And then they made the players optional, and that took like 1 year before it just went away, and the players just never did it again. And the coaches, they made optional a couple of years ago, and there's not a lot hanging in there. I mean, it's a lot of usual suspects. I mean, a lot of the veterans will do it, like Mike Tomlin. Andy Reid will do it. Trying to remember who else we got this year. I know we got Nick Sirianni with the Eagles. That was kind of a natural. Vic Fangio did it with us, you know, twice. I'm trying to remember. I'm sure there's somebody else that I'm missing out on. I think I know John Gruden did it before he was let go in Las Vegas with us. But it's a pretty short list anymore.
Okay, so we had this conversation a little bit earlier. I'd like to get your opinion. Where does Mike Tomlin rank amongst best NFL head coaches? We have we decided Bill Belichick 1, Andy Reid 2, but then kind of a wide open conversation there between John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin for 3 and 4. Where would you have him?
I think I'd put Tomlin ahead of Harbaugh for sure. I was actually thinking about this the other day about how I would shake those guys out and everything. Because I probably put Tomlin right now on my list at number 4 in the AFC, and that's obviously, hey, Belichick and Reid were 1-2 for sure. Even though he doesn't have a Super Bowl yet, I've got a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel and what he's been able to do. But honestly, I mean, I think that what Mike Tomlin has done with this Steelers team and getting him into the playoffs with, honestly, a quarterback who is not a playoff quarterback anymore, and probably with one of, I think, overall, even though he's got a couple of big names and a couple of stars, I think this is the least talent the Steelers have had in a long, long time. And he's still been able to get him into the playoffs. I mean, I think that speaks volumes. And he's still a young guy. I mean, he's not even 50 yet, right? I think he's 49?
49 is young. All right, I'll take that. Let's go. Yeah, very young. Incredibly young.
That makes me feel old that Mike Tomlin's been a head coach for like 15 years. He's younger than I am.
There's no way you're over 49.
I'm just barely over 49.
Are you serious?
I can't believe that. I would never have guessed that.
I thought you would have been about 10 years younger than me.
Yep.
Nope. I am an old fogey. See, the weight kind of, you know, stretches out your skin a little bit. So
Takes you all those wrinkles, huh?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I start losing, if I ever start losing weight and everything, I'm going to age like you would not believe.
I think you're very youthful.
I'll be aging like a Thanksgiving pumpkin in January.
You have a boyish enthusiasm.
You do. That's right.
This show.
That's right. A boyish enthusiasm.
Someone who does not play with the enthusiasm of a young boy is Ben Roethlisberger. He looks like he's about 65 years old when he's out there on the field. To me, I tweeted this one time when the Chiefs were playing the Steelers. He looks like a dad, like a 50-year-old dad that's out in the backyard playing with the kids, trying everything he can not to throw his back out, moving around very gingerly. And so that's why most people, I think, combined with the fact that the Chiefs beat the Steelers 36-10, I think most people feel like the Chiefs are going to take care of business on Sunday because Ben Roethlisberger just doesn't have that next gear to go to. He is well over the hill. But I ask you, do you think he has one more great performance left in him, good enough to actually get the Steelers a win on Sunday?
I mean, Ben sure looks like a guy who just doesn't have a lot left in the tank. But then again, I mean, look at how many game-winning drives and fourth-quarter drives that the guy has led this year. I don't know how he's done it, because for the most part, he still can't throw the ball more than, you know, 30 or 40 yards downfield max. I don't get it, but guys like that, you always have to be wary that they've got just a little bit left in the tank to get it done. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that a lot of the memes and the quotes that are being said this week about how this is Big Ben's retirement party, and, you know, and clearly the underdog role is suiting him well. He's embracing the underdog role fully. But Steelers are paying attention to all of that. I mean, they're paying attention to everything that's being said about their quarterback and the fact that they are such a big underdog. And, you know, I know it's been, hey, it's been popping up places that, hey, this is better than a bye for the Chiefs. Steelers are hearing all of that. And, you know, we've seen what happens when a team gets motivated. Now, I still think there's enough of a gap between these two teams that that's not going to matter much. But I don't think there's any doubt the enthusiasm factor is going to be on the Steelers' side.
You know what? And that stuff does play out sometimes when the pride of these guys, and I say these guys, I mean NFL players in general, gets questioned. I mean, the Steelers, after after they've had a couple of games this year where they got, you know, somewhat humiliated, they bowed up the next game and they showed something. The Vikings game stands out. You know, they lost that game. They gave up 36 points. They turned around and they beat Tennessee the next weekend and held them to 13. And the Chargers, their defense, their run defense was much maligned before they played the Chiefs. And then they kind of bowed up and they were like, hey, you know, our manhood's been questioned here a little bit. And so I think that is something that should make us cautious about the Steelers. But I have to wonder a little bit, Matt, is there any of that on the Chiefs side? Because defensively, they should feel questioned after the last two games. Their ability to tackle or willingness to tackle. I mean, people have questioned whether or not this team was committed to the cause of tackling in the last couple games. Are you getting any sense of defensiveness or like from the Chiefs defense? Like, hey, we've been questioned now and we have something to prove. Shouldn't they feel like that going into this game?
They probably should. I mean, because we now have two games that this defense has struggled in. They've struggled in a couple of different ways, but then at the same time, I mean, they've given up almost 400 yards on the ground combined the last couple of weeks, and that should absolutely challenge you. And if Steve Spagnuolo and the defensive coaching staff is just not using that this week as a challenge to this team to increase its tackling commitment, its commitment against the run, toughness, I think they're crazy not to use that. I mean, we'll see what kind of a motivator it can be. But you know, what we heard from Ben Roethlisberger yesterday, I mean, I think that tells you just how much he's embracing that role. But I think it's serious questions. I mean, I think there's legitimate questions about the Chiefs defense and where they are, because even though they had a stretch of eight games where they were really, really good, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? And the last couple of weeks has not been the same Chiefs defense that we saw the previous eight. And I'm still going to lean on the bigger body of work and say that I think that this defense is better than it's played the last couple of weeks. But you should absolutely expect that the Steelers are going to come in here and try and just run the football down the Chiefs' throat. And the Chiefs are going to get challenged early. And if they stop the Steelers, I mean, this to me, first quarter is going to be very important to this game, because as the Steelers come in and are able to run the football effectively, get some things done, they're going to hang in this game probably.
Matt Derrick is our guest. So, Matt, what do you think happens? How does it play out? What's the score going to be?
I say all that, and I still think that this, you know, spreads about right. I mean, the gap between these two teams, I think just the way that they're situated right now, the favorable matchup for the Chiefs. I mean, you know, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, we know it. You've got to score. You've got to be able to run up and down the field on them. And what, the Steelers, I think, have only scored more than 27, 28 points twice all season. They can't do that. I mean, their only hope to win this game is 19-17. I mean, that's what they've got to keep it down to. And I just don't think that they're going to be able to do that. I mean, I think the Chiefs will be able to get enough offense going. We saw last time around between these two defenses, the offense didn't have any problems. So I expect a similar type of ball game. I'm going to go with the Chiefs 27-13.
What about the other AFC games? Do you like who do you like in the Bengals-Raiders matchup?
I like the Bengals there. I'll be very impressed. I mean, I've written the Raiders off, I think, three times this year. And the fact that they made the playoffs I mean, it is as impressive as all get out to me, but that was a costly, exhaustive win last week, and that's hard to kind of maintain for the next week. If the Bengals are healthy, if Joe Burrow is healthy, I think they'll be just fine. I don't think the Raiders have the firepower to keep up with the Bengals.
What about Patriots-Bills?
That one is going to be, I think, a chess match. And I probably shouldn't bet against Bill Belichick, but I think Buffalo's better. I think they get it done. I'm not sure what would be the better matchup for the Chiefs. I mean, I think either way they're going to end up facing a really tough team. I mean, if the Patriots pull off the upset, then you got likely chance that you're facing the Bengals in the next round. Buffalo wins, you're certainly facing Buffalo. I don't know what you want to hope for if you're a Chiefs fan, but I think Buffalo gets it done.
Oh, I'll tell you what you hope for. Go Patriots and go Raiders.
That would certainly be a way to go.
Bring the Raiders to Kansas City for the divisional round. Sign me up for that. But I don't think the Patriots will win, but I'll be rooting for them. Very difficult. I find myself once again going into a weekend rooting for the Patriots and Raiders, and then washing my filthy mouth out with soap.
How to wash your mouth out, young lady?
And finally, will Eric Bieniemy be hired as a head coach this offseason?
That is a great question, because it's third straight year saying he should. I mean, and I think there's a couple of positions that he would be perfect for. I don't know if it's going to work out or not. I mean, I think he should be. I think you have to absolutely give Eric Bieniemy a chance in the NFL and see what he can do. And like I said, I mean, I know he'd love to go to Denver. I mean, that would be a perfect fit for him. I don't know if long-term it's a great fit, because they're going to end up with new ownership later this year, and maybe that's going to change things. I think Minnesota would be a really good fit for him.
Right.
It's just going to be, you know, what jobs are actually end up open, if there's any other openings that pop up. But I'm going to lean towards yes. I mean, it's 51-49, but because I every year I'm stunned that he's not been a head coach. He should be. They should give him a chance.
I don't want to lose them from the organization, but if the Vikings were smart, they would hire Ryan Poles as GM and Eric Bieniemy as head coach.
So.
I mean, the Chiefs are going to get raided this year. I mean, they absolutely should. The fact that they haven't been raided in the past couple of years is stunning to me. But, yeah, I mean, Ryan Poles, Mike Borgonzi, I mean, and there's other candidates, too. I mean, Mike Kafka is a coaching candidate. I don't think he's going anywhere, especially if EB leaves. I mean, then Kafka is just too natural to stick here as an offensive coordinator. Chiefs are going to lose some people this year, and they're going to lose some good people, but this is a deep organization.
Matt, as always, thank you for the time. I will encourage people to follow you on Twitter. Matt Derrick is his handle. Matt, we'll talk to you next week.
It is my pleasure, and thank you for thinking that I'm much younger than I actually am.
That's right. The boyish good looks and enthusiasm of Matt Derrick on the Border Patrol. We'll talk to you next week, back after this, with another very handsome guest, Jarrett Sutton, on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yeah.